Reading Psalm 67, I'm reading from the King James. God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God, let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
So delighted to have with us Brother Luke Tanis here, prospective missionary to the country of Malta. I've known Luke for quite a few years. Saw him really cutting his teeth in some ministry in camping at Camp Shatek for a number of years. Many of you don't know this, but actually about 5 years ago, Luke and Anna were actually this close to coming here. And Luke was actually going to be an intern here at our church. In the kind providence of God, God brought them actually instead of here to First Baptist Church of St. Francis, which is their sending church. And I will just tell you that for their sake, that was, I think, the best thing for them, a perfect fit for them to grow in Christ, in the Lord, with a gracious pastoral staff that really helped minister to them and they to that church. And they have grown in their love for the Lord, their love for the ministry, and God has, in his kind providence, directed them towards missions. You know, quite frankly, I don't know if that could have happened here, and so the Lord worked that out, and in God's kind providence, we got a different intern, Steve, which has worked out tremendously for us, and I love that because really what that represents is that when in the work of the gospel, churches are really, we're not out to grow our own little kingdom. We are here to see the good news of Christ spread through all the world, and that means it's more than just us. And Luke is actually a representation of that, and Anna as well, and their family, as they have committed their lives to going to a foreign country and ministering the word of Christ. I'm so honored that he's able to come and minister the word of Christ to us today. So Luke, would you come and share God's word with us?
Well, good morning. It is a blessing to be here this morning, even as I've known Pastor Sturtz for a number of years. One of the blessings of being here in Minnesota has been get to go to some of the pastor's fellowships. We've done a book study every couple of months, and so it's just been a blessing to get to fellowship, even get to know him, as well as your intern. And so even from one intern to another, it's just neat to see a church pouring into a fellow seminarian and somebody seeking to go into ministry. But I also got to take some classes with Stephen, so it's just a blessing to be here today, even with you folks. Our text this morning is Psalm 96. Psalm 96, we'll be looking at this text, even as it directs us to both worship, but then as well as when our worship is happening properly, how we are going to let that flow into telling others about the God that we worship. But even as before we begin looking at this text, I wanted to share just a brief little bit about Malta. And so for some of you that were not able to be here this morning in Sunday school, we are missionaries headed to the country of Malta. This is my wife, Anna, seated here, and then our son, Theo, is back there in the nursery. You'll probably see him after the service running around. And so we are headed to this country. It is a small country located just south of Italy, so right there in the Mediterranean. That's where Paul was shipwrecked in Acts 27 and 28, so you might remember a little bit about the country. But it is 98% Catholic. So this is one of the main aspects of the country. Very few believers in this small country. And so we're going to be partnering with some missionaries, just seeking to be able to be involved in the spread of the gospel, both at the church there, as well as really seeking to see churches planted. And so it's been exciting to see how God has directed already. If you have questions, feel free to stop by the display afterwards or pick up a prayer card. Psalm 96 is where we are. We'll begin in verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming, to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, you are great, and you are greatly to be praised, and we praise you for your love that you show to us. We praise you for even your word that we can learn from it. And so we ask now that you would work in our hearts and open our hearts, and just even that the Spirit would work and lead in our hearts. And just pray that through this you would be glorified. And we'll thank you for this in your name. Amen. WWW are three letters we all know very well. And when we think of the World Wide Web, it's amazing to see just how much of the world has changed since the internet has been around. And so when you think of how much we might even use the internet on a daily basis, it's amazing to see all the opportunities that are available. And yet we can even communicate around the world. And so if you have family or relatives around the world, it's a blessing. Or maybe missionaries we can get prayer letters from in an instant, and they can be halfway around the world. It is a testament to just how worldwide it is. Even as we think of when there's breaking news, often it seems people from all around the world know about this. And even in every nation around the world, it seems whether they're rich or poor, they all have access to the internet. And so it truly is World Wide Web. But when we look at this text this morning, we see something else that ought to be worldwide. And the psalmist is directing us, pleading us to be involved in worldwide worship. So even as he's directing this, the whole world is invited into worship of God. And yet as we step back and look at worship today in this world, we can think of how many billions of people are not worshiping God as they ought. And so that's what the text is directing us to. And even as we think of, one pastor has said that missions exist because worship doesn't. So if we think of missions, even as we are doing today, it's good for us to understand the importance of worship. Because if I'm going to challenge you towards missions without worship, then oftentimes it can be very short-lasting, and then we can just go on our way of knowing missions is important. And yet if we are worshiping God rightly, if we are worshiping as we ought, then out of that ought to flow a desire to be involved in the spread of the gospel, both here and around the world. And so that's what the psalmist is directing us to. Even as we think here in this text, we see him setting before us the character of God. And so then the psalmist is asking two responses to God's character. And so the first response is to praise God. The psalmist begins in these few verses, and he shows us the character of praise, of what that praise looks like. He begins in verse 1, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." And then he repeats himself, "Sing to the Lord all the earth." And then once more, in case we didn't catch what he's trying to say, he repeats himself for the third time, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name." And so we want to praise God. We do so by singing. And when we think of the Psalms, they're full of texts that direct us, that command us to sing. And yet this is how we praise. And so what's beautiful is even as the psalmist is beginning, we must not forget to sing. This is beautiful as we come, even already this morning, we have sung. We have been praising God. this is more than just a ritual or a tradition that we do because it's Sunday, we're supposed to sing. We sing because we're commanded to, because this is how we praise God. And yet the psalmist doesn't want us to forget that. He begins that we praise God through singing. But we also can praise God in more than just singing. We can praise God by blessing his name. Even verse 2 says, sing to the Lord, bless his name. And so as the psalms throughout direct us to bless the Lord, Psalm 34 verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So not only do we come to church and praise God on Sundays as we can sing, we also praise him throughout the week. As it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. So this is something that as believers, praise ought to continually be in my mouth. It says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. We must continually be looking for ways to praise God. This is so important as the believer ought to have a heart that is continually pouring out to God, but continually praising God for who he is. And so we don't get to turn off our worship or our praise. After we finish church on Sunday, we can go home and turn that off until next Sunday. No, that we're continually praising God. In some ways, we can be singing on Sundays, and yet throughout the week, when we wake up on Monday morning, in the middle of the week, we can be praising our God. We can be blessing him at all times. So the psalmist is directing us that our God deserves our praise, and we ought to give that to him. But even as we think of, even this week, we have Thanksgiving coming up, and even an opportunity set aside for pie and praise, to be able to praise God. This is something that must be flowing out of believers, that we are looking for ways to praise God. And so we can continually do that, as there is so much that God has done for us, and in response, we get to be able to praise God as well. And so our praise looks like singing. Our praise looks like blessing the Lord at all times, of continually pouring it out in our conversations. As we're talking with people, we can take time to praise God. When we're even this week thanking God for what he has done, we then can praise God as well. But there also, that ought to be true of you, that this can be said, that your praise is continually in your mouth. May others know that of you, that they know that you are continually praising God. But then the psalmist continues, even directing our hearts to worship. In verses 7 through 9, as he says, give to the Lord the glory due his name. In verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so here is he calling us to worship the Lord. And as he said, the beauty of holiness. God is holy, and we ought to worship him as such. But then he continues and he says, tremble before him, all the earth. And so this is showing us, not only is this praise flowing out of us, but this is praise that includes our entire person. Because when it says, tremble before him, all the earth, this is not somebody just reading words and responding. This is not somebody just going through the motions. You don't tremble when you're simply going through the motions. Rather, this is someone that their entire being is involved in this, that as they're worshiping God, this is something that's flowing out of them. And when we think of our worship, this is something that ought to be done with our heart. And so not only do we sing, but we have to sing with our whole heart. Not only are we praising God because the text commands us to, but we praise God because it's flowing out of us. And so when we look to Ephesians, when we go into the New Testament, we see this concept, even Ephesians 5:19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord. And so there we are praising, and yet it continues, it says, with your heart. And so this must be true of our praise, that not only are we singing and praising the Lord, we're worshiping, but that we're worshiping with our entire heart. Because this is what the Lord desires. This is as when we see a text, when we tremble before him, all the earth. This is our response to our great God. And when you look around in society today, when you see sporting events, and you go to, maybe if you've been to a stadium, one thing you're going to see there is a lot of noise, because people are passionate about their sports teams. And so if you were to go to an event, and maybe you've been there, you're going to be very excited about it. And yet, if you were to go to one of these sporting events and you were going through the whole entire game and not hear any noise, something might seem off to you. You might say, why are these people not, are they not excited about their team? What is off? Because normally, you go to an event, people are going to express themselves. Why? Because they're excited, they're passionate about their team. And yet, when we think of passion, when we think of what is going on in Psalm 96, we ought to look at our worship and ask ourselves, are we worshiping from the heart? Am I worshiping simply going through the motions, or is this worship coming from the heart? Because that's what the Lord is directing us to. The psalmist is showing us that our worship ought to be flowing out of us. And so the psalmist has given us the character of praise, but he also gives us the cause for praise. Why do we praise? And so verse 4, he jumps right into this. He says, for, as he's given us all that we're to praise, then he shows why. For the Lord is great. And we could stop right there. The Lord is great. That is sufficient reason to praise God. But he continues. He says, and greatly to be praised. And so why do we praise? Why do we set aside time for singing? Because God is great. And he's worthy of that praise. He is greatly to be praised. And so then we ought to be continually seeking to give God the praise that he deserves. But then he continues. It shows, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So then he contrasts and he shows the worthlessness of idols, the worthlessness of gods, that God alone is to be feared above all gods. And then verse 5, he says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. So here's these gods that God is to be feared above all, these gods, these idols. But then he continues, he says, but the Lord made the heavens. And so here's idols, things that have been created. And then here is our Lord who has made the heavens. He is the creator. And so which one are we to worship? We're to worship the Lord. He is great. And yet when we look at our worship, oftentimes we can slip into worshiping creation. We can slip into those different idols and things that we are not worshiping God as we ought. And so we're giving that worship to something else, something that is not to be worshiped. God alone is to be feared. He is to be worshiped. And so Psalmist is directing us to reminding us that even as we think of worship today, the reason why so many people aren't worshiping is because they're worshiping something else. They're worshiping false idols. And we think of when this text was written thousands of years ago, still to this day, we can see this phrase, the gods of the peoples are still idols. And so what this means is there's still work to be done. There's still nations, billions of people that do not know God as their Savior. They do not worship God. They do not fear God. And so that means that the work of missions is not done. There's still much work to be done so that these people that are worshiping false gods, false idols, can worship the one true God. The psalmist is giving us the cause for praise. Verse 6, then he says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And he later on in verse 8, the glory due his name. So why do we praise? Because this glory we must give back to God. And so we ought to take our worship seriously, that we get to be involved in this as God has invited us, and yet we must do our part. We must praise God, give him the praise that he deserves, the glory that is due his name. Because God's greatness demands our worship and our praise, and so we ought to respond accordingly. But then the psalmist has continued, and he's given us the content of praise of what we praise. Even in verse 1, he says, sing to the Lord a new song. And as believers, not only has God put a new song in our heart, but when we come to understand God and we understand the gospel, this is something that is a lifelong process. We are never done understanding and grasping the gospel, understanding and grasping what Christ did when he came to this earth. And so that means as we learn more and more about this, we can continually praise God for what he has done. As we learn and read in our Bible and learn of the character of God, then out of response to that, we're praising God even for something new that we've learned, something that's been near and dear to our hearts of God that we can praise God for. We also, as he's shown us, that we get to praise God, that we get to praise him for all that he has done. And so he has given us much to praise about. He has given us much that fills our praise. And as we think of this, as we think of what is happening when we're praising God, when we're worshiping, it's very hard to be focused on ourselves if we're focused on somebody else. It's very hard to stand at the Grand Canyon and try to talk a lot about yourself. Not a lot of people are going to listen because there's something much greater right behind you. And yet when we come to praise, the beauty of this is it gets the focus off of ourselves and onto God. And so it reorients ourselves. It reorients us even each week as we come to sing, as we are praising God, as it puts the focus on God. And so it takes us and the focus off of ourselves, whether it's on our strengths, and maybe it's on our weaknesses or our failures this week, whatever it might be, as we're taking our eyes off of ourselves and putting them on Christ, putting them on God that we praise, then it's putting us in the right place. And as this is happening then, as God is working, it's reorienting us so that we want to then not focus on ourselves, but focus on others. One pastor said that praise is first upwards. Our praise is upwards to God, but then secondly, it's outwards to man. And so that's where the psalmist is leading us, as he's showing us we must praise God. We have to focus on our praise, but then it doesn't stop there. And so our praise doesn't simply stay within church. It doesn't just stay within our homes, but it must spread. That's directly where he's leading us. Our second response to God is to proclaim God. We first praise him, but then we must proclaim God. And so verse 2, he goes right from singing into proclaiming. It says, sing to the Lord, bless his name. Then it says, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. And so almost is showing us the character of proclaiming. Now, how do we proclaim? And he shows us we get to tell others of his salvation. He says, proclaim the good news of his salvation. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders. So that's what we're doing. We're declaring his wonders. And the beauty of this is that we all are invited to get to tell others about the gospel. We all get to tell others what Christ has already done for us. And so when we proclaim God, we simply get to show them what Christ has done for us, how he has set us free, and how he can set them free as well. But as we look at this proclaiming, not only are we telling them what God has done, we're continually doing this. As he says, proclaim the good news of salvation from day to day. And so this is something that we are continually at. We don't get to just take a break, take a month off from telling others of salvation. But rather, we all can be continually looking for ways to do this. And the text here is not giving an exception clause saying only pastor and only the deacons and missionaries are to be involved in this, and everybody else gets a break. Simply, he's putting this out there, proclaim the good news of his salvation. And so that means every believer can be looking for ways to tell others. And this is how we are all involved in this task. And so for some believers, that means going to other nations so that we can declare his glory among the nations. But for many, that means just staying put right where God has placed you and getting to declare his glory to those people all around you. You get to proclaim the good news of his salvation to people that may have never heard the gospel, whether your neighbors or your coworkers, they may have never heard the gospel. And so you get to be involved in this task of proclaiming God as well. And so the psalmist is showing us that the character of proclaiming, of what that looks like. We get to tell others. But then he also gives us a cause for proclaiming. And he's shown us why we praise. But then if you could say, why do we proclaim? Why are we to be involved in this? And he gives us many different reasons. Even as he's directly told us in verse 2, proclaim the good news of his salvation. In verse 3, declare his glory among the nations. And so certainly as he's giving these commands, we ought to listen to these. Later on in verse 10, he says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. So we ought to take these commands seriously. Even as we think of in the New Testament, the Great Commission, we are to be making disciples of all nations. And so certainly those ought to be reminders that we can ask ourselves, what is my role? What is your role in that? How are you obeying what God has commanded? But there's so much more. He doesn't just simply give us commands so that we can feel guilty about not being involved. We also think of the very reason of what we're telling others. In verse 3, as it says, to declare his wonders among all peoples. When we think of those wonders, those are the very truths that he has saved us. That Christ came to this earth to live a perfect life, to take on flesh and to die on the cross for our sins. And so why would we proclaim God? Because of what he has done for us. Because he has saved us. Hopefully then our desires, we want to tell others as well because of what Christ has done. And the least we could do of what all that he has done is to tell others as well. And so because he has saved us, hopefully we have a desire. We want others to know about this as well. We don't simply want to keep the gospel a secret. We want others to be involved in this. But the reasons continue. Why do we proclaim? And the psalmist is getting us to this point, is that the nations do not know. The nations are still worshiping false gods. And even as he began this text, he says, sing to the Lord, all the earth. He's painting this picture that the whole earth, he wants to see them worshiping. And yet when he shows this, and he says he is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, then something is wrong. There are still billions of people that aren't worshiping. And so why are we proclaiming? Because they have to hear. They can't know God and worship God unless somebody is willing to take the gospel to them. And so this applies both across the street as well as around the world. There can still be people here in Minnesota that have never heard the gospel. So they don't know how to worship unless you take God's word and you show them. And the same applies to hundreds of nations around the world, that people aren't worshiping God because they've never heard of God. They've never heard of the gospel. And so this is the task of the church at hand today, is we must wrestle with this, of ask ourselves, how are we declaring his glory among the nations? What is our part? How are we taking the next step so that we can see the gospel proclaimed, so that at least some people can know about Christ that didn't before? So wherever God places us, we can all ask ourselves what that question is. And we don't all get to go around the world to go be missionaries, but we do get to all be involved in the task of the Great Commission. And even as we see this text and we think of the Great Commission, we think of even Paul's life. Not everyone got to be a goer, but everyone had the chance to be obedient, and everyone had the chance to respond. So some got to be goers like Paul, but many were senders. They were supporting the work of missions. They were supporting and praying for that. And Paul could not have done what he did without the role of the church, without those praying for him as well. But as we see this text, as we think of this need, that all the gods of the peoples are idols, we must wrestle with the fact that somebody must take the gospel to them. We think of Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then later on it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the psalmist is showing us that the nations still do not know. And then as we know in Romans, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then in order to get from them not knowing to hearing, somebody must be willing to take the gospel to them. And so we have to wrestle with this, even ask ourselves, is God calling me to go? That may be the case. That may be for you that God is calling you, and there's tremendous needs around the world. And yet he may be just simply calling you to go across the street to your neighbor to proclaim the news of salvation. But wherever it is that God is calling us to, we must seek to continually be obedient. As we are listening to how God is directing us, listening to as God is sovereignly placing people in our lives that we can be the ones to proclaim the good news. As we think of this, as pastor himself, he cannot reach every single person in his community the way that you can reach the people, the way you can reach your neighbors and your coworkers. Pastor can't do that. And he certainly wants to be able to reach people, but God has placed these people in your life so you get to proclaim the good news and the relationships you already have. He may be opening doors so that you get to proclaim the wonders of salvation. You get to tell them what God has done in your life of how he can do the same in their life. And so we also see a reason to praise God is simply the greatness of God. When we encounter something great, hopefully we want to tell others as well. And so as the psalmist, not only do we praise God because of his greatness, we also want to proclaim God. When we think of this, the fact that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, we ought to be telling others as well. We ought to be excited about this. When it says, declare his glory among the nations, we get to do that. We get to tell others of his glory, his greatness. And so when we have conversations with people, we can continually be looking for ways to point the conversation to God, to direct glory to God, but also the greatness. And so we ought to want to show others. They ought at work and around us, they ought to know that we like to talk about the greatness of our God, that we're motivated because our God is great. We want others to know that as well. And so the psalmist is directing us, giving us an abundance of reasons. Why would we proclaim? Why would we take time out of our busy week? Why would we risk embarrassment or shame in front of people? Because of what he has done, because people still do not know. But then the psalmist also gives us the content of, well, then what are we proclaiming? And many times this is where the rubber meets the road, and we're sometimes afraid of what to say, as we maybe know some people that don't know the gospel, but what do we say? The psalmist directs us to that, even as we think of the gospel. As he said, we declare his glory among the nations. We proclaim the good news of his salvation. And so that's what we're doing. We get to explain to them salvation. We get to unpack to them the realities of what Christ has done. And this oftentimes, this can look like many conversations. As we get to explain to them, whether they know about Christ or they might not know much, we can just explain to them. As we think of what Christ has done, his life, there's so many facets of that we can explain to them. Even as we look at Christmas, as that's coming up, there are going to be plenty of opportunities to declare his glory and to proclaim the good news of his salvation. As people are almost giving us opportunities as they're talking about Christmas, we can then show them what Christmas is about. We can direct them to Christ taking on flesh and coming to this earth to die for our sins. And so this is a tremendous opportunity to point to them of why Christ came to this earth, of why he lived a perfect life, why he needed to do that, of what God's justice is, of what that meant that he died on the cross, the free gift of salvation. That's what we get to explain to others. Verse 3, as it continues, it says, his wonders among all peoples. And so that's what we get to be involved in. You get to tell others the wonders of salvation. And so hopefully that's exciting for you, because many times we let the fears outweigh the content. We let the potential challenges distract us from what we get to talk about. And yet if we think of the gospel, if we view it as marvelous, as wonderful, then hopefully this is going to be exciting, and something little like that, a little awkwardness, a little fear, is not going to hold us back from talking about the wonders of salvation. Even as we think of, if in any church, people have hobbies. And so when you're talking to somebody before church, after church, and when you get them talking about a hobby, sometimes it can take a while to get them to stop talking about the hobby. And so we can all think of different people, even this church, what hobbies they might have. And yet we talk about hobbies because we enjoy them. We enjoy doing that. And oftentimes we want others to be involved in our hobby. Or we like others when people enjoy that hobby. We like to talk with them. This is something we enjoy, and so we like to talk about it. But the psalmist, as he says this, his wonders among all peoples. Is the gospel wonderful to you? Is the gospel something you enjoy talking about? Because as the psalmist is directing us to, if it is wonderful for us, then this is going to flow. We're wanting to invite others to worship. We're wanting to show others the wonders of salvation as well. So if they're going to be wonderful to be described to other people, they have to be wonderful to us. We have to study the gospel. We have to know it so that we want to tell others, so that we're ready to tell others when God gives us opportunities. And so we get to simply to tell them of salvation. But the psalmist also gives us other ways we can talk about, we can proclaim God. We can proclaim his glory. Verse 3 has said, declare his glory among the nations. We can direct them to, even in the sunrise or the creation around us, we can show to them, as the psalmist reminds us, that the Lord made the heavens. And we can direct the glory that is there, direct it to where it is due, that God has made the heavens. He is the creator. So even in the glory around us, even in our everyday lives, as God answers prayer, as God is doing things, we can give glory back to others. We can show of how God has worked in our lives. We can show that to our unsaved coworkers and our unsaved family. We can show and proclaim God's glory to them. But as the psalmist continues, we also can proclaim that God is in control. He says in verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. So not only are we telling about salvation, we're directing others to God's glory, but we also get the job to show that God is in control. And what's so exciting about this is that we don't always have the answers. And we can't even explain everything that's going on. And if you look at society around us, if you look at the news for even a minute, you can see the chaos that's going on. But we don't have to have all the answers. But what we get to do is show to them that God reigns. So that's our task, to say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And so we ought to be directing others to God, showing them that our God is sovereign, that he is in control. He is the one that you can be trusted. You don't put your trust in finances or in government or whatever it might be. Our trust ought to be in God alone. The Lord reigns. And so that's what we get to do. That ought to be exciting then, because when people come to us with fears and worries as they're struggling, we can direct them to that God is in control. He is the one that reigns. And even as people encounter things that they struggle to understand, they don't have an answer for, or injustices, we get to show to them that one day God will make everything right. And even as he's closing this chapter, he's showing to them that the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. So our God is righteous, and he will one day make all things right. And so we get to tell others about that. We get to show to them that the Lord reigns. And so even as we think of one day in the future when God is coming to judge the earth, we think of from Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So one day, that day is coming when every knee will bow, and one day God is coming to judge the earth, and yet, still to this day, we see that has not happened, and so there's still work to be done. There's still nations that do not know. There's still people that can be invited to praise, because our desire ought to see the nations come to worship. Even as we read in Scripture, let the peoples praise you. That ought to be our desire, even as we can worship even this Christmas, that others would know about the gospel as well. And so hopefully we continually have a desire to see the nations come to know Christ, that they can worship. So it truly is a worldwide worship. But as we look at this text, as we see ways to respond, one author has said of worship that worship should never be merely a private thing, something between ourselves and God only, but should also be that which leads to a missionary witness. So as we look at this, ask yourself of your worship today. Is that something that is flowing out of you? Is that worship that is coming from your heart? And is that worship that's flowing into a missionary witness? And for some, we struggle with the worship, the praising God aspect of things and praising him throughout the week. And there's areas that we can grow in. For others, we love to praise. We enjoy that. And yet, proclaiming God is something that we can struggle with, something that you are struggling with, even of praising God and yet letting the message of salvation, letting even, we think of Christmas, of taking that message beyond the church and beyond our homes to our community. But wherever it is, we must look for ways to be obedient to God, to be praising God and proclaiming God. And yet maybe as you've heard this, as you hear the wonders of salvation, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Well, you can do that today. Somebody would love to explain the wonders of salvation to you. The fact that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that it is a free gift of salvation. And you can make that decision today. You can talk with somebody about the gospel so that you can worship God rightly as well. But wherever it is that you are today, we can respond to God of what he has done, the greatness of his character. And so we can be seeking to praise God. We can seek to proclaim God in everything that we do. So you can ask yourself, even as we look at this, what is your part in worldwide worship? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are great. We praise you for that. We ask that you would just work in our hearts, even in this church, the opportunities there are to be able to worship you, but then also to proclaim you to this community. And so we just ask that you would work in a powerful way to see this community even come to know you, that this church can be a light to this community and to see people come to know you and to be able to worship you as well. And so we ask that you would just give us the grace to be able to change in our lives and that you would be glorified. And we'll thank you for this in your name. Amen.